Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Paul was a man that had a shepherd's heart. He was driven by the love of Christ as well as a God-given concern for the spiritual welfare of the saints in Colossae, Laodicea, and for those who had never met him. Paul prayed that these believers would be knit together in love. Unfortunately, many, especially in Laodicea, had become lukewarm within a generation. Please open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola tells us how to avoid becoming beguiled into apostasy as he begins his study of verses 1 through 7. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Colossians chapter 2, I want to read the first 7 verses. Paul the Apostle writing, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." That is God's word. Paul was a man who had a shepherd's heart. He was driven by a love for his Lord Jesus Christ, and he had a God-given concern for the spiritual welfare of the saints here at Colossae and Laodicea, as well as for people that he had never personally met. And he tells us here that he was in a place of great conflict. And the idea there is that he is in agony. And the cause of the agony is stemming from the false teachers and the enticing philosophical, legalistic, and mystical teachings that he mentions specifically here in verse 4. We will get to, should the Lord tarry, in verse 8 and in 16 through 20 next week, Lord willing. And this agony that he speaks about has been called by some over the years the silent internal agony of ministry. And I would testify that it is something that every one of us in ministry has to deal with. The agony that exists over those who are vulnerable to attacks of the enemy with lies and deception. You recall in the book of Revelation that of the 7 churches that Jesus wrote to, one of them was the church at Laodicea. That letter in Revelation chapter 3 was written about 30 years after this letter was sent to them. And what was it that Jesus noted about the vast majority of the people in Laodicea then? He said that they were lukewarm. He was standing on the outside looking in. Only God knows how much the impact of the false teachings that were addressed here were ignored. And 35 years later, you have people who are attending church and they're lukewarm. The word lukewarm means to be tepid. It means to be lacking conviction. It means to be half-hearted. And among the many things that is important for us as followers of Jesus Christ is the need to every day make a quality decision to follow and obey the Lord. Whether you feel like it or not, and how many of you know, there's times where you feel like it, and there's times that you don't. In season, out of season. Seasons when you feel like it and feel like or don't feel like it. You see, the true disciple of Jesus Christ never wants to be on the wrong side of obedience or compromise. We obey, we submit, and we leave the consequences of that obedience to the Lord. You remember in the Gospels what Jesus said to those people who said to him, "I will follow you, but first." Remember? "First, let me bury my father. First, let me go and look at the land that I bought, see what it's like." Beloved, anybody that puts anything or anyone before Jesus cannot be and is not a disciple of Jesus Christ. But know this, if you are not following Jesus Christ, you are following something or someone else. And following Jesus Christ, being obedient to him, in this fallen world at all times will cause disturbances and discomforts in your life. It's just part of walking with the Lord in a fallen world, in this body that is yet unredeemed, which is many times a civil war. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Paul wanted their hearts to be comforted, or God is called the God of all comfort. He wanted these believers to be knit together in love. And the word love there is the Greek word agape. It's been called the heavenly glue that knits a fellowship of believers, not only to Christ individually, but to one another congregationally. The prayer of Jesus for all of those who call him Lord is that we would be one. John 17:21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see how critical it is that the unsaved world sees us knit together in love in Christ, that they might believe. Could it be that one of the reasons why the world is not listening to us is because we simply are not walking in love toward one another? That certainly is one of the reasons. When Paul writes in what we would call chapter 3, but later on in this letter, he would say in verse 14, "Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Put on charity, put on love. It's the bond of maturity. It's the bond of completeness. It's the bond of perfection. Notice that the love that we have for one another is to be a comforting love. And that's because it is the overflow of the love for our God who first loved us, who himself is the God of all comfort. And so we are simply conduits in whom and through whom the love of Christ is passed on to others. That's what knits us together. When you look at all of the passages, well, a lot of passages in the New Testament that speak about this love, it's a love that is gentle. A love that is humble, a love that is kind, a love that encourages, but a love that also exhorts and warns, reproves. It's a love that forgives. It is a love that is patient and long-suffering. It's a love that prefers others and esteems others better than themselves. It's a love that motivates us to serve God and serve one another for the glory of God. You hear what Paul is saying here? One of the ways that you and I experience an assured understanding about the mystery of God, namely Jesus Christ, the treasure chest of wisdom, is when our hearts are knit together in the love that we receive from him for one another. You see, doctrine is vitally important. And unfortunately, in this day and age, there's a lot of doctrinal anemic churches. We need strong doctrine. Doctrine about the nature and character of God is vital because this comforting love and assurance of salvation is not only rooted in what we believe, but who we believe. Notice the words in verse 2, full assurance of understanding. It stems from the biblical revelation of the Godhead. It stems from the mystery of the unity and love that exists within the Father, within the Trinity or the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the full assurance of understanding of the fullness of the mystery of God, and our shared love for one another is a mark of spiritual maturity. And that full assurance of understanding of the mystery of God was attacked by the Gnostics, and they are alive and well today. The word Gnostic means to know. The Gnostics were a pseudo-intellectual group of individuals who claimed to have a higher knowledge of the mysterious things about the realm of the spirit world. They were anti-Trinitarian. They were anti-deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. They identified the Spirit of God simply as a force or an energy, but not a person. The Gnostics had their books of inspired literature that were filled with twisted interpretation of biblical words by which you were initiated into their little web of lies and deceits. And their whole life was bound not upon the truth of God's word, but upon these extra biblical, unbiblical words. How many of you know that all that you need to know about the character of God, as much as we can know, is found in this book? About the character of the true God, but the person of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, the gospel. It is all in this book. All of it is in this book. The revelation of the true Jesus is in this book. You know, the greatest asset and withstanding any of all false heretical teachings, false perceptions of the living God, is by being grounded and rooted in the biblical revelation of the truth that we find in Scripture. I love those words, hearts knit together and full assurance. The Bible gives to those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ full assurance of their salvation. In fact, Peter writes that you and I can make our calling and election sure. And that eternal security stems from the gospel message that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, Christ alone, and the emphasis is on the work of Christ from the cross to the throne. And Paul challenges these haughty intellectuals, these godless philosophies and mystics of his day with the bold claim that the life and redemptive work of Jesus Christ sums up all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all the wisdom and knowledge that you and I need to know about God, to know about Christ. It's found right here in this book, right here. It's all here. So you have God's wisdom, and then you have wisdom that is not from God. In James chapter 3, verse 15, we learn that there is a wisdom that descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. In 2 Corinthians 1, 12, we read about fleshly wisdom. And this wisdom abounds on the internet, this fleshly wisdom, this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. It abounds on the internet. The Holy Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness. They denied the creation account. In the beginning, God. I've told you many times, I love watching documentaries, nature documentaries. I find them fascinating. You know, you look at animals and you see the creativity of God. I mean, did God run out of black paint or white paint when he made a zebra? A kangaroo. I look at these creatures and I go, God, you are so wise. And they'll show you all of this footage. And then eventually, the godless philosophy, well, billions of years ago, because they don't believe the account of creation. I read a story years ago about Sir Isaac Newton, who was a born-again believer. But there were many scientists who did not believe in the Bible or in creation. And the story goes that one day, one of these colleagues of Sir Isaac Newton visited him, and he had built in the downstairs laboratory, he built a little replica of the planets revolving around the sun. And so his colleague comes over, and they get into this conversation about creation. The guy says, I just don't believe it. So Newton says, hey, let's go downstairs. Takes his friend downstairs, and his colleague looks. He goes, wow, this is really cool. How did it happen? And Newton says something like this, you're not going to believe it. I was upstairs. I heard an explosion. I come downstairs, and look at this. And the colleague says, that's nuts. That's crazy. That couldn't happen. He says, that's what you believe. There is going to be a big bang, you know, but that's at the end of the story. When God brings in the new heaven and the new earth. There is a wisdom of this world that is foolishness with God. But it's in Jesus Christ that you and I have been given heavenly, holy wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You want to know about the power of God? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know about the wisdom of God? Look at Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, talking about full assurance, says, of him, that is the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then it says, in order that he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. All glory being to God. In chapter 3, we're going to read the passage, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. One of the ways that you and I develop or build up wisdom is by getting into the Word of God, treasuring the Word of God, reading the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, but most importantly, applying it to your life. You see, because if you don't apply it, it means you've never heard it. Reading it and applying it, the wisdom of God, it's in the Word of God. And Paul writes, he says in verse 4, I'm writing this to you, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing words. And so Paul's immediate concern is to guard these believers from delusion. Someone seeking to lead them astray. And there are millions of voices on the internet, beloved, who are seeking to beguile or deceive born-again Christians, trying to convince them there's more than the Bible. There's things that you don't know. I think one of the saddest things as a pastor is to hear people get wrapped up into these philosophies, these godless philosophies, and simply either lose their faith or turn away from God, which makes me question whether they knew him at all in the first place. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, listen to how Paul put it. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. How do you know if someone is preaching another Jesus, another gospel, or another spirit? You compare it to this. You compare it to this. And I've said this many times too. You know why it's so important for a Mormon or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jehovah Witness or pick your cult to get their literature in your hands, because you would never come to those heretical conclusions if you just read the Bible. This is all you need. This is it. This is it. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Listen to how Paul, with the same concern, tells us the importance of being rooted in the Word of God. In Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him and all things who is the head, even in Christ. Peter would say, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that is very evident from church history up to the present time, these deceivers, these false teachers and false prophets, you know who they love to eat for lunch? Christians who don't understand the Word of God. They prey on that. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, we are told, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with food, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. If you and I are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you are going to be, and I would be, easy prey for clever charlatans. Now, some people really have a difficulty with reading, actual reading and comprehending. And they say, Pastor Ray, what should I do? And I encourage them to get an audio copy of the Scriptures and listen to the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you have a difficult time reading, listen to the Word of God. You know, all spiritual deception from the time Christ rose again to the present day, from within or outside the church, is the activity of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How do we offset these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Well, when Jesus and the devil were there on the pinnacle of the temple, in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, and the devil questioned Jesus whether or not he was the Son of God, how did Jesus reply? He said, it is written. It's powerful. And because that was done, nobody else was there. The Holy Spirit's revealing that to us. Because we too, the enemy says, did God really say in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth? Did God really say that he created them male and female? Did God really say, and you go, yes, it is written. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what all scripture was when Paul was writing this? Genesis to Malachi. And amazingly, there are people telling you and I today, now that Christ has come, we don't need the Old Testament. Really? Of course we need the Old Testament. The Old Testament is rich with doctrine of the person of Christ, the gospel, what's going to happen in the end times. The New Testament simply reveals what the Old Testament conceals.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.